If you will, can you turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. Been in Romans chapter 11 so long, now we're in Romans chapter 12. So if you will, can you turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. And we're just beginning a new course of doctrine. And what I mean by new course of doctrine, when you're dealing with God's Word, it's always the same course. But when you're dealing with the new stage, if you will. And what I mean by stage, I'm talking about the next step. When you're dealing with that, this is a very important step, an important stage in our learning. And a lot of people oftentimes come along and say, well, sonship teaching, there's always, you guys talk about levels or you guys talk about courses or this and that. Well, the other people do it also. You have people that have grace schools, and they also have course one, level one, or trimester or semester. In their course of studies, in their course of learning or teaching the saints, and God has the same thing. But the way God does it is God does it from a milk to meat. You know, you can't just go in there and pay and say, well, I just want to take the second trimester because I feel I'm edified enough, you know. No, it has a design. God's Word has a design. And with God's Word, design Word, He also has checkpoints. And it's not going to say in His Word that it's checkpoints in His Word, but that's exactly what happens when we get to Romans chapter 12 here. When you get to Romans chapter 12, you come to a point where you're being asked to do something. And this is very, very important for us to come to understand this doctrine here. And this is a very, as I said before, a very big step. Because the saint, when he gets to Romans chapter 12, there is a pretty big task ahead of him or her. And let's just read there, Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And let's take a look at verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, again, as I said before, you know, this isn't like when you're reading a novel or anything like that. This is something whereas Paul is asking, he said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. Now, you got to take a look at that. I beseech you, therefore. He's speaking to ones that want to continue to cry, Abba Father. He's speaking to ones that want to continue to labor with their Father and live on to Him. Ones that are saying, I'll take that task on, Father. And if we can see it's similar to with our children. You know, you have some that are willing, and you have some that just want to play PlayStation all day. But then you have the ones that say, hey, I want to labor with you. I want to know what you think about this world. I want to do things the way you do things in this world. I want to work together, labor with you in what you're doing. Anything to get your will across or what you're doing across, I want to work with you in that. And I want to know your emotion. I want to know the love. I want to know how to express your love. I want to emulate that or simulate that. Now, but this is what, and when you get here, I beseech you, therefore, brother, by the mercies of God, and this is the point here. This is what you're asked to do. that ye may present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. And those are those three things there. That you may present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, Paul could have just said, beseech you therefore, brethren, that you present your bodies unto God. But he didn't say that. You're asked to present your bodies a certain way. Now, a Romans chapter 6 saint could not do that. So as you become justified, just say that the moment you were justified, and we all could remember back then when we became justified, you know that it would be impossible for you to do this here. You know that it would have been impossible. You had to learn some particular doctrines. You had to be edified where you can get to this point here. But not all saints can do this. Not all saints can present themselves, present their bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is their reasonable service. Not all saints are going to not be conformed to this world. But most are going to be conformed to this world. Not all saints are going to be transformed by the renewing of their minds. But if they are, they can prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So that's why this is a vital step here. And when I say step or stage, whatever we'd like to call it there, I'm pretty sure you know the gist of what I'm saying here. Sometimes you got to watch what you say, because some people will, again, just say, oh, you guys are making too much of this. And people that say that someone is making too much of something, they don't understand it, nor do they care to understand it, maybe because of whom is saying it. But if it was certain other teachers saying it, then they would be more receptive to it. But again, when the son and daughter in Christ comes to Romans 12, you got a very important decision to make, because you got to make sure you're ready to move on to that next stage in education. And it is a checkpoint, and I'm going to call it a checkpoint. But when you arrive at this point in God's word of truth, this is a part that requires adult sonship decision-making. And the decision-making, you're going to see in Romans chapter 12, Paul is going to say many things to you. He's going to tell you how to act, what you ought to do, he's going to beseech you and how you ought to do things. He's going to tell you how to treat each other, how to judge one another. You know, even when you get down to verse 20, when he says, therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so, thou shalt reap heaps of coals of fire on his head. Hey, you can't do that unless you learn what verse 9 says. Verse 9 says, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Do you see what I'm saying here? It's impossible for you to do verse 20 without you understanding verse 9 and 10. So the way Paul does this, and we've seen that, if you follow with me through Romans 6, 7, and 8, you've seen how Paul would teach you some particular doctrines, and then he'll move on to the next stage or the next step. And again, right there in verse 20, that is more mature doctrine than you get in verse 1. Because if you don't do what verse 1 and 2 says, you're not going to be able to even do what verse 9 says. And you definitely won't be able to do what verse 20 says. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine ones who you used to call or would call your enemy? And you would go and say that you would feed them, and they first give them drink. And this is not just so you can heap coals of fire on your head. This is because you're doing it because you have some decision making to come to understand. You're to know that the way this person, you're not to hate the person. It's the way the person acts is because of the bondage of corruption. It's because of sin itself is why they're your enemy. Is why, say you were wronged by them or whatever the situation is. But you're taught how to judge that situation. And that's where decision-making, friendship decision-making comes into play at. But the main point here is that, you know, you have to know when to move on, when you're going to move on to the, or if, I'm sorry, if you're ready to move on to the next step. And this is things we have to understand. And again, we did this in Romans 6. Romans 6, Paul asked us to reckon ourselves to be dead unto sin and alive unto God, and don't let sin reign in our bodies and all these other things. And that only concerned a new way of thinking, a new way of living, and our attitude towards sin. But Romans 12, it actually become a living sacrifice, a living sacrifice. And just hold, and I'm gonna get off of the checkpoint thing. This is the introduction, so I want to make sure we have a good understanding on what we are asked to do, and make sure when I get through here in the next few minutes with the checkpoint thing, that you're able to say, take a step back and look at yourself and say, am I ready to go on? Is this something I'm ready to do to be able to present my body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is my reasonable service? Am I able to be conformed, be not conformed to this world? I mean, who knows? You're probably already there. But when you get to, when you look at the checkpoint thing, a checkpoint does a, it does a few things. One, it makes sure you're legally qualified to be where you're supposed to be. In other words, if you can't prove that you got the qualifications or the legal paperwork or able to advance or move on or to travel to a new destination, then you're not permitted to move on. You're not permitted to be in that place. And see, we as believers, we ought to view God's word in that manner also, because this is the way he teaches the saint. And you see this throughout his whole word. Paul could not or would not give the saint, give the Galatian saints, the book of Titus doctrine. And I'm going to say that again. And think about this. Paul couldn't give the Galatians, just the Galatians back there in Paul's day, he could not give those Galatians the same doctrine that he gave to Titus. He couldn't do it. And if he gave Titus the Galatian doctrine, Titus would wonder if Paul questioned his maturity. Titus would say, Paul, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? I'm foolish. What do you mean? All those things. What do you mean I'm falling after the rudiments of this world? And what are you talking about? I'm observing days and months. That would be as if someone at our job asked us, hey man, have you ever made it out of the third grade? You know, that would be questioning our maturity. So, make a long story short, we have to understand that when we get to a point in God's word, we have to look at it the way God does. And we can't just jump from Romans chapter 5 into the book of Ephesians. It won't work. It will not work. Even though we want to do that, kids do the same thing. How many times do you have to grab a toddler's hand that wants to run somewhere, or they want to take off, they just learn how to walk, or want to take off running. So we're going to go over these particular doctrines here, and we're going to go over this doctrine, and we're going to see, but at the end of the doctrine here, if we are able to move on to be ones who Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. And again, when he says that, I beseech you, and we're going to go over this a little more verse by verse next week. But I'm just going to give you a little couple things. We just put the first few words there. Paul saying, I beseech you. And again, he's talking to ones who he assumes is ready to go on. Therefore, brethren, and these are, if he calls us brethren, these are ones that are brothers with the Lord, brothers with Paul, and brothers with the Lord. Ones that who we told in Romans chapter 8 about being conformed to the image of his Son. These are ones that we see here. And this is what we're going to be looking at. By the mercies of God is what he's beseeching us by. And those mercies, we're going to look at those mercies as well, but that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, let's take a look at the whole checkpoint issue there and just see what's being said about how we ought to view ourselves. How can we determine if we are able or fit? And those are two words that apply. If a person is able, then they are meet to be able to do something. They are fit enough to do it. And let's turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians 13, and let's take a look at verse 3. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 3. And like I said, we're looking at this whole issue of if we're ready to go on, if we're ready to move on past this checkpoint, onto Romans 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3. Since you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you word is not weak, but is mighty in you. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? And see, you see here, I'm after verse 5 there, Paul says, examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. Now, and as you see here, Paul talks about in verse 3, about what is mighty in you, and the power of, in verse 4, the power of God toward you. And it's in us, toward us, if you want it to be. And again, what Paul is beseeching us in Romans 12, you don't have to present your body as a living sacrifice. You don't have to live onto him and do this. But guess what? You won't be what he called you to be. And Paul, when he says that, come back to Romans 12. I just want to touch on a couple of things here, and then we're going to move on. Romans 12, again. And he feels he should be talking to more mature saints when he gets to this point. And he's asking saints to examine themselves. Over in 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 13, of course. But here, in Romans 12, Paul also wants the saints to examine themselves, whether they're worthy or ready to continue to cry, Abba Father. If they're able to accept Paul's exhortation to be what God called them to be as a sacrifice. And, you know, while we live out our sanctified lives and to bring out much fruit unto him, we ought to This is something we ought to want to do. We ought to want to cry. We're going to look at that about cry, Abba Father, what all that's about. But every saint cannot perform this request. That's unfortunate, but they can't. They can't perform this request there. You know, and you look at those exhortations, which is in all Paul's epistles, we have to look at the underlining facts of each exhortation that we get from Paul. And when we do that, we got to look at what's the root of our fundamental shortcomings. And what I mean by that is, we're going to go to the book of Proverbs. And when you take a look at the book of Proverbs, you're going to see some things about who our worst enemy is. And we've seen some of those things over in Romans chapter 8. And that's what I mean about we need to take a look at the underlining facts of each exhortation. Each time we get a reproof, like when Paul reproves the Corinthians or when he reproves the Galatians, he doesn't say the devil made you do it or he reproves the saints themselves. They are their own worst enemy. And this doesn't have anything with there's not enough learning material from God or God's word's too hard to be understood, excuse me, or it's too hard to attain. But the real issues center within ourselves and our commitment to learning. It's our commitment to learning our Father's doctrine and having that same desire and zeal for his word, just like we have that same desire and that same desire and zeal for this world's earthly things. Now come over to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2, I just want you to take note of some things here in Proverbs chapter 2 because it's vital that we see what's going on here. Because you see a father teaching a son. That's what you see. A father teaching the son and wanting that son to attain his doctrine, wanting that son to attain his heart, his emotion, that same zeal, work together with him in what he's doing, do things his way. And look at Proverbs chapter two, and you're going to see about, you know, we're going to see about who is at the heart and the root of your problem there. Proverbs 2, let's look at verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasures. I'm going to stop there. Now, let me just look at that. What the first thing it says, well, hey, it says that, yeah, if you receive the words and, you know, hey, you know, just look for it as hid treasures. And no, when you look at this here, let's take a look at verse 1. My son, if, you're going to notice, you're going to see these ifs here. There's going to be three ifs here. And then notice who is doing this. It says thou. There's going to be four thous here. We are the ones. We are the ones that are to do these things. We are the ones that if thou wilt receive my words. That's one thing. And another thing, hide my commandments. That's another thing. Notice where you're hiding the commandments at, with these. Because he knows, the father teaching the son here, knows that the son doesn't have to do these things. And hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom. That's the son inclining his ear, meaning you're zeroing in on something when you incline your ear. That means you only hear that. You become tunnel hearing instead of tunnel visioned, but tunneled hearing onto only that thing. And applying thine heart to understanding. Now you see, you're receiving it, you're hiding it, you're inclining your ear, you're applying thy heart. Verse 3, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding. And again, the criest after knowledge, that's that crying Abba Father thing there. Crying after knowledge. This son here is crying after knowledge from his father. The same thing we've seen what Paul is teaching us there. Crying out a father. And lifteth up thy voice for understanding. Not just the knowledge, but understanding. You can get the knowledge, but if you don't have understanding, it's just going to go in one ear around the other. How many times have we talked to our children? Or if we don't have any children, how many times have we talked to children? Or people, for that matter, that you tell them something over and over again. It could be a spouse. It could be anyone. You can cry. You can tell them something over and over again. But if they don't want to understand something, they're not going to get it. And we know this. And we could be subject, fall subject to that also with God's word. Verse 4, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasure. Now, when you see something here, this takes zeal to do these things. What does it take to do the things here? One thing it takes is, it takes a love, for one. Love would provoke you to do this. And it shouldn't be a fear-motivated thing at all. Like, as a fear that I'm going to do this so I won't go to hell. Because it never works. I'm going to learn my father's word because, I want to get an A in my theological school. Well, you never learn. You're just trying to please the professor or the teacher, and then you're going to not retain these things. You're going to do what verse 1 says. If thou wilt receive my words, that's what you'll do. But you won't do the next part of the verse. It says, and hide my commandments with thee. So that's the first step. It has to be out of love that you want to get your father's doctrine. You want to move on and will you be able to prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And be a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Also, incline thine ear unto wisdom. Apply thine heart to understanding. You gotta want this. You have to want to do what children do. Every child wants to grow up, folks. Every child says, I can't wait till I get grown so I can do this, or I want to be so-and-so when I grow up. They can't wait to grow up, especially when they get towards the ages of 10, 11, 12. They already think they are grown up. They just can't wait. And you know what? It seems funny. I mean, not funny, but most Christians don't mind being childish. And you know where I'm getting at with that. They don't mind doing childish things, also they don't mind saying, well, I got a problem, I'm going to give it over to God. Oh, I'm going to, this is bothering me, I can't deal with this now, I'm going to let God handle it. You know, or I don't know what God's doing today, or maybe this is God telling me. They don't know, and they don't mind not knowing. But you're going to see, just in this study here, that God's word is already given unto us. All that he wants us to know is already given unto us as Gentiles in this dispensation of Gentile grace. And as you look at this example here, this is an example of a father to son and how that son can attain onto his words. This is the recipe to get your education. And I know we all want that, but oftentimes we allow other things to get in the way. And those other things is ourselves. We can't get out of our own way. And that's why you see these things in verse 4. If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasures. And we know ourselves. We would seek for silver and hid treasures if we knew where it was. If we knew there was a chance that we'd find it in a certain place in our backyard, we'd get out a shovel and start digging. If we knew, if we found a map and it told us that money, silver and hid treasures was in our backyard somewhere, we would definitely get out a shovel. We wouldn't just say, you know what, I'm not going to seek for that, even though I have a map here and there's a good chance that it's there. Well, that's the way we ought to approach God's word. That's being zealous of something. That's wanting something. That's having your heart stir up for that. That's applying your heart to something. Now, come over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. We'll take a look at some things. Some of the things we went over before when we were in Romans chapter 8. And I just want to take a look at some of these things because it's vital to understand this so we can get our father's education or want to be ones that are presenting our bodies a living sacrifice. You know, we don't have to go back over the Romans chapter 6 stuff. It wouldn't be bad that you did it if you feel that there is something that you need to go back over. On the Bible study site, there are many different studies on there, doctrines that we went over, and they are there and are very beneficial there. You know, but again, let's go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, and let's look at verse 12. Romans 8, verse 12. Well, you know, I should have told you to do was hold your place in Proverbs chapter 2, because we're going to be going back there. We're going to be going back there. I'll give you a chance to get back there when we get there. But Romans chapter 8, verse 12. Romans 8, verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again for fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. This is very important to understand here. And the main reason why I went back here was because I want you to take a look at some of the things here that Paul says. Some of the things Paul said, and, you know, look here. It says, therefore, brethren. Again, brethren, we are debtors. Now, we all know what debtors is. We all know what debtors is about. And when you're a debtor, you're indebted to someone. Meaning, when I say indebted, I'm talking about you're indebted, whereas you owe them something. And what he's saying is not to the flesh. In other words, you don't owe your flesh a thing. You don't owe your flesh a thing, nor do you owe it a responsibility to live after it. Or in other words, when you live after something, you serve it. Or when you're after something, you're following it. It leads you. And this is what Paul is saying in Romans 8, verse 12. You're not a, you got to check yourself and figure out who you, whose master you, whose servant you are. And that's some of the things we went over in Romans 6 about that servant issue. Who's your master? Who you're a debtor to? Who, sorry, who you are indebted to? And it's not to your flesh, as you see here. Nor are you indebted to live after your flesh. Look at verse 13. For if you don't have to, if you live after the flesh, you shall die. And what he means is that he means functionally die. You'll be dead to God. And what I mean by dead to God, not that you're going to go to hell, but you're not going to be able to bring forth fruit. You're not going to be able to bring forth fruit unto him. So you're not going to be doing what Romans 12 talks about. What you're not going to be presenting your body a living sacrifice. You're going to be presenting sin onto your flesh is what you're going to be doing. You're going to be functional death. Verse 13 again, for if you live after the flesh, and that's again after, in other words, being a slave to your flesh, you shall functionally die. But if ye, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. That's saying, but notice, if. It's conditional. But if ye, that's you doing this. You're the one doing this now. But if you through the Spirit, in other words, if you through the Word of God do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall functionally live. You shall live. And you mortify the deeds. In other words, if you mortify, that means if you put those things to death, what the body wants to do. And that's why they call the people morticians at the funeral homes there. But long story, I know you get the picture there. Of the body you shall live. In other words, you don't have to live after your flesh to please your flesh like you're indebted to. And see, that's what we do oftentimes. We always feel we're indebted to please our flesh. That's the problem with humans. That's the problem with humans. We live in our flesh and we want to please our flesh. We think that we owe our flesh something to please it. And with this world caters to us so much. Everything is so easy now. Everything is at our fingertips. We don't have to do it. We don't have to labor for anything. We've gotten spoiled where we feel that we're indebted to keep pleasing ourselves. Whether it's to do things to say, oh, that's well-pleasing unto me. This makes me laugh to do this, or this tastes good, or this right here, I like how I react to this, or I'm going to, I like this show that I watch, or this, whatever the situation is. But we forget who we are a debtor unto. And that's why Paul comes along and says in Romans 12, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That word service, meaning you're going to serve someone. You're going to be after someone. You're serving, you're a servant unto someone. You're a debtor unto someone. And it ain't your flesh. He tells you that in verse 2. You don't have to turn to Romans 12, but I'm just quoting it. That's why he says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. And again, this has nothing to, this is you responding to God's word, the crying, what the Spirit is offering you here. That's why that spirit of adoption, We have received the spirit of that word of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. In God's word, there is an adoption onto us, calling us to be who he has called us to be as adult sons and daughters in Christ. Now, it's up to you to cry us after him, to cry that you want his education. And that's why it says, verse 14, Romans 8, verse 14, for as many as, in other words, not all are going to be led by the Spirit of God. God would hope they are. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And oftentimes people will think this is just talking about you're a child of God, you're an heir, and you're of the household of God because you're justified. That's not what this is talking about. Because this is saying you have to be led by it. This has nothing to do with justification here. This being a son of God, it has nothing to do with you accepting anything here or you believing. This says, for as many as, and it's just telling you to do something. You know this is functional life he's talking about. He's telling you how to live after you became justified. Verse 4:15, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby. See, the spirit of adoption is whereby we cry, Abba, Father. In his word, that word of the calling us to be what he has called us to be, and we see that over in Romans 8, verse, when he's telling us about he has conforming us to the image of his son. It talks about what we have, about us being, that he foreknew us, he predestinated us, he called us, he justified us, he glorified us. And those are things that's that word of adoption there. Well, let's come back to Proverbs here. We're running out of time here. Proverbs chapter 2 again. We're going to just look at a couple things in Proverbs here that's very, very vital, very vital. But as you see here, you're a debtor to the Father. Paul's beseeching you by the mercies of God, all the goodness, the mercies that we've been given is what you're being asked to do this. You're a debtor. Why are you a debtor? You're a debtor based upon what all he's done for you. You're indebted to him. Proverbs chapter 2 again. When we looked at Proverbs 2, we've seen this says, if thou will, and if thou will do this, and seek us for her as hid treasures, and lift us up thy voice, you know, actually seek for her as silver and hid treasures. Look at verse 5, Proverbs chapter 2, verse 5. Then, notice that then there? Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walketh uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment, equity, yea, every good path. And Paul says, if we decide to do those things in Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1 through 4, it says, then the Lord will respond to us as a father to son. Notice the things in verses 5 through 8. It's God that will do these things for our edification and where we'll spiritually benefit from is what his word, and wisdom provides for the inner man. And again, this is interdispensational here. This is not, I'm not saying that we have to live by anything that is written from Genesis through Acts 7 there. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying to you is this is a foundational look at a father-to-son education. And what a father is telling a son or daughter is that if you seek for my word like this, if you lift up your voice and incline your ear and apply your heart and all these things from Proverbs 1 and chapter 2, 1 through 4, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Because that's when the son's going to say, whoa, if I'm looking for his word like hidden treasures, I'm going to have a zeal. I'm going to want to understand the fear of the Lord. I'm going to want to find the knowledge of God. Verse 6, for the Lord giveth wisdom. In other words, this is what happens when you want to do that. This is the results. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. And says he's the one that's doing these things here. And again, it's not that he's supernaturally doing this in your life and you can't, he's going to make you understand and all this other stuff. You're seeing that the son is being asked to do these things. And when their son does them things, then they can understand the fear of the Lord. And notice here, it says, verse 7, he layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. Now, how does he do that? His word. His word is how it's laid up. Sound wisdom for the righteous, ones that want to live righteously. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. His word does that. His word is that shield armament. Not just a shield, but an armament that protects the saint there. The ones that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths. Notice there's paths and there's ways. Then there's a way. Well, the paths of judgment. Each one of us, we all have different paths. There's different things that come up in our life, different, I guess you can call it paths, different reasons or situations, if you want to say that there, that we're required to use judgment in. We have different situations that we are required to use judgment in, and we're supposed to use it righteously, with love and equity. But also, it says, and he preserveth the way of the saints. God has one way. He has a way things ought to be done there. It's his way. Now, let's come over to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. And of course, when you have different ways and paths, then you got ways and paths of the Father, but there's also ways and paths of this world also. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 3. Let's take a look at verse 1. Proverbs 3, verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart, so that thou shalt find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be thou wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. There's a lot contained there. There's not a lot contained as from a father to a son. And, you know, we can say these same things to our children. Not in the sense where you're using old Oxford English, but in the sense where you're forgetting out my law. And that's not speaking about the 614 laws, but his way. let thine heart keep my commandments. Forget not, is what he's saying. Don't forget it. Let your heart keep it. Keep it in your heart. Let that be the love of, let my commandments and my laws be the love of your heart. Let that be in your, notice it says law, not laws, but law. And then keep my commandments. For the length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. They, yeah, what's being said here. Now, let not, in other words, this is what the, notice this is what the son is doing. The son is forget, the son is to forget not the law, his law. The son is to let his heart keep the commandments. In verse three, let not, the son's not supposed to, he's not supposed to let mercy and truth forsake him. Bind them, something else he's doing. Bind them about thy neck. Write them, something else he's doing, upon the table of his heart. So that thou, the son, find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. And this is where it's supposed to be done now. He says, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Mercy and truth is what he's supposed to be, is that way there, is that law. Bind them about thy neck. That's what he's supposed to bind about his neck, mercy and truth. Mercy and truth is love and God's word. Grace, bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. In other words, let your heart be, let this be the only thing reigning in your heart, mercy and truth. So shalt thou find favor. In other words, that's how it's going to happen. And good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. That should be very understanding there. This is important. Lean not unto thine own understanding. And that's what people do today most often. Is they'll come up with something when they don't understand anything. They'll either go to a self-help book or they'll lean on their own understanding. And we do that so many times. That's why there's so many different denominations of religion out here. Because man says, I know what God really meant to say. Well, I know all about God. Verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. See the ways and the paths there? Be not wise in thine own eyes. That same thing we've seen about wise in thy own conceits. Now, let's come over to, we got time to take a look at one other thing here. And let's come over to, let's come over to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And I just want to take a look at some things here that, again, it's conditional. And some of these things we're going to see is what we've seen there, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And as we looked in Romans 12, we've seen, as I said, it's conditional. The son doesn't have to do that. He doesn't have to be one that is presenting himself living sacrifice, holy acceptable unto God, which is his reasonable service. He doesn't have to do that, but guess what? When you don't do that, God's not going to respond to you. And what I mean by respond, I don't mean that he's going to answer your prayer or he's going to make things happen for you, but he's not going to be able to utilize you. You're not going to be able to bring forth fruit onto him. And let's see that. Come over to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Come over to verse 14. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he with that believeth with the infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now you see here, verse 16, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now, that's the way it ought to be. That sounds good. These are ones that are walking with him. He's walking with them, and they're walking with him. They're allowing God to dwell in them, his word to dwell in them. That's why we're called the temple of the living God. Folks, where does the word of God supposed to be read at? Where is it supposed to, the book supposed to be itself? In the temple. God's word is supposed to be within us also as a temple. Look at verse 17. Wherefore, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. In other words, what will happen if they don't come out from among them, as verse 17 says? What will happen if they're not separate? What happens if they touch the unclean thing? If they don't do it, and if they do come out from among them, if they do be separate, they do not touch the unclean thing, the Lord said, I will receive you. So in other words, my point in reading this here was because we need to understand that if we want to do as Romans 12, you can turn there real quick and we're going to close. Romans chapter 12 says here, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. If you present your bodies in another way, it's not acceptable unto God. He can't accept that. We have to know why we're doing this. We're going to continue with this study, and we're going to see if we're ready to go on to the next checkpoint here. If we're ready to be able to do this here, we need to examine ourselves, take a step back and look at ourselves. Are we ready to present ourselves a living sacrifice? Are we ready to be transformed by the renewing of our mind to prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God? These are things we're going to have to see for ourselves. But with that, I'm gonna close here. I'm going to open things up for the Q&A session. Star 6-1 will get you into the queue. Star 6-1 will get you into the queue. And, you know, we ran over a little bit there, but I feel that it was needful. We're just going to pick back up next week on going more into Romans chapter 12 there. But it's something that we have to do when it comes to the doctrine here, folks. We have to understand who we are debtors unto, who we're a debtor unto, also how we can get the knowledge. As the proverb says, seek for it as hid treasures, understanding that out of the Lord's mouth come wisdom and understanding, not out of the mouth of Facebook or Instagram or everything else, and that YouTube. And that's where we get our knowledge and understanding from. You know, the news is always going to produce news, but we even go past the news. We look at entertainment news. They have not just your local news channels. They even have entertainment. What's that called? TMZ? It tells you about what the so-called stars are doing, the celebrities are doing. We want to know, we'd rather be educated in their life, in their ways. We want to know what they're doing next. What are the Kardashians doing? What is the president doing? You know, what next? And being educated, we can't wait to hear something good or some good gossip. But we can't, but we shun and get bored and fall asleep when it comes to God's word. That just bores us. We just yawn and just, oh, I gotta keep toothpicks in my eyes just to listen to it or watch it or read it. It just bores me. And the main reason why that is because you're not doing what Proverbs talks about. God knows the son and daughter in Christ is going to cater to the flesh, because the flesh gets a thrill out of gossip. The flesh gets a thrill out of something new or something to cater to our senses, our eyes, our ears, our mouth, our touch. This is what we thrive on. We feel we're debtor to that rather than be a debtor to our Father, where we can bring forth fruit unto him. Do things that's holy and acceptable, which is our reasonable service. But with that, I'm going to close.